verse of this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 4, the scripture says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 7. And we trust the Lord will bless this word to our hearts for His name's sake. This morning we're going to speak on what I am calling empty vessels filled. Empty vessels filled. We'll take as our text the words particularly there, verse 3, where the prophet instructs the woman, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. With the Lord's word open before us, let's turn our hearts to Him in prayer, and let's all seek His face that He might meet with us today. Our Father and our God, again now we come to Thee with Thy word before us. We're thankful that it is Thy word, the word that proceeded from Thine own heart to us as Thy people. Lord, we lift Thy word back to Thee. Lord, it is this word that Thou hast caused us by the power of the Holy Ghost to hope upon. It is this word that Thou dost hold before us as a light. Lord, this is our feast. And so, O God, we pray today that Thou wilt bless it. Lord, bless Thy word as Thou didst bless the oil that day. Bless Thy word as Thou didst bless the fish and the loaves. Lord, bless us with Thy word that it may find itself being poured into our heart and filling us. O God, do a work within our souls today. Hear Thy people as they would pray unto Thee in this hour. O God, bless me. Send a word to my heart today. Let me hear from my God through His word in this hour. Lord, answer prayer. Answer Thy people as they call upon Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help me now as Thy servant. Thou dost know that I am but a vessel. I cannot pour out. Lord, there's nothing that can come from within me because I have produced it. Lord, it must come from Thee. Thy Spirit must be the helper. Thy Spirit must be, Lord, the indeed taker up of Thy word and making it to be the very substance of that which fills the hearts of Thy people. Lord, so I ask for Thine aid. I ask for Your cleansing. I ask for the blood to be placed over my heart and over this time. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt certainly bless us all. Lord, give us thoughts of Christ and exalt Him much before us. And Lord, we would ask the blessing of being able to say, I love Christ more now than I did when I came in. Lord, we'll put these things before Thee, and we do ask that Thou wilt bless us then, because we ask these things for Jesus' sake, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What was seeking to be proved here in 2 Kings chapter 7? Why do we have this incident recorded for us in the fashion that it was? Some would say that this work that we see here, this incident, was the Lord's allowing the credentials of the prophet to be verified. That here you have the prophet Elisha setting forth himself as one to speak to the nation of Israel, one whose word must be heeded, for indeed it was the word of God. And here you find the power of God attending the ministry of this man by verifying his credentials as a prophet by performing for him these things according to his instructions. Others would look at this and say, here the Lord is proving himself to be a comfort, an encouragement to a people who have known days of affliction and days of oppression. The Lord was proving yet to Israel that he was a God that was among his people. That here with this you can see that God's presence was with those perhaps whose hearts were dull, whose minds were filled with other things, yet the Lord was faithful, and the Lord proved himself to be one who would come alongside those that he dwelt among. I say that perhaps those things are true, but I say in many ways that's missing the major point here. I think the thing that tells us the nature of what took place here and why the Lord reveals this to us can be seen in the very beginning verse of the chapter when the prophet comes to the woman who cries to him, and then he asks her as she presents to the prophet that she is a wife or a widow rather of one who had been a prophet, and the prophet turns to her and asks, what shall I do for thee? There's the telling thing. There's, I say, the setting forth of the purpose for this incident. It is the question, what shall I do for thee? Oh, may we take a step back and say, O Lord, may that be a question that thou wouldst ask of my soul today. May this be something that my mind and my heart might hear from thy lips today. May it be that the Lord would come to me and ask, what shall I do for thee today? What is it that thou wouldst have? And I say that our response to the Lord, if he were to stand in front of us and ask of us that question, would have to be very similar to the response by the woman as she came back to the prophet and had to confess, I don't have anything in my house. You ask me what I have at hand? I don't have anything at hand. I've got one thing that is of great price that I say that I have in my house, but that's all I have. Oh, I would ask you this morning, does that not sound very much like us? Is it not true of us that as the Lord would ask, what do you have at your hand? What resource can you draw upon that I might take that and use it? We can say, I have but one thing, Lord. I have but one thing, and that is the faith that thou dost give. I have but one small cruse filled with oil. I say, the Lord here, I maintain, is giving us a lesson. A lesson that is meant to be given to all of God's people concerning the nature of His helping His saints. My point that I would seek to prove as we look at this incident amounts to this. That each of these vessels that we would see filled up, each one of these vessels that the Lord instructs through the mouth of the prophet this woman to collect, each one of these vessels points to the reality of her great need. But each one of these vessels also at the same time points to the great possibility of provision. We have needs. We have great needs, many of us. And yet we see that the Lord is one who lets us see by this that He is the provider for His people. What could we say these vessels stand for? I mean, I'm not trying to make a type out of these vessels. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just saying here we have a picture, we have an illustration, if you will, of God's divine working for His people. What could we possibly say that these vessels would represent in our lives? How could there be a possible parallel to us here? Well, I think in many ways we could see these vessels as areas of our life in which we have a spiritual awareness. I would say that they would represent the subjects of our emotional and spiritual concerns. These vessels are areas of our life. They point in some ways to our poverty, but also these vessels point out that there is hope. These vessels can be a parallel, if you will, to potential usefulness. I want just very simply to look at this incident and just perhaps for our own souls glean some truths that will encourage us about our walk with Christ. I want us to look at these vessels, and I want us to keep in mind that these were empty vessels. They were empty vessels. Now, let's just simply think about these few things. First, what was the reason for their emptiness? Why were these vessels empty, so to speak? Or what was it about this woman's life, particularly, that had brought her to this point of poverty? The scripture says that this woman had a few vessels around her house, but they had become empty. That she had one vessel only that was left, and she was told to go looking for other vessels by the prophet. The clearest of points that we can make here is that this woman was in want. This woman was in a state of true lack. You know what? Sometimes the people of God come into such a condition. Sometimes we can look at our souls. Sometimes we can look at our lives. Sometimes we can look at the various circumstances or the various areas of our lives. And we can look at each one and say, you know what? In this area of my life, I'm empty. In this area of my life, I'm suffering want. In this area of my life, I don't seem to have any resource to help me. There are just various areas of our lives, whether we talk about the spiritual walk that we have with Christ, our usefulness for Christ as we would see ourselves going through this world. We can look at even our families. We can look at our ability to maintain our life by work or different. There are areas of our life and we just look at it and say, in this area, I find myself greatly empty. We find ourselves often in times of want spiritually. And I say that whatever the course was for this woman, it brought her to cry to the prophet. That was the course of seeking the Lord in those days. There was probably indeed the use of direct prayer, but people oftentimes when they had a want or when they had a need for the Lord's intervention in their lives, they sought after the prophet. This woman was a wife of a prophet. She was familiar with how people would come and seek the Lord's guidance and the Lord's help from the feet of her own husband. She was familiar with seeking after the Lord in that way. One thing that you would have to say that was a cause for her cry, or that was indicative of the nature of her heart as she cried, was that in verse 1 it says that as she came to Elisha, the first thing that she says is that, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." There's a slight tone of complaint. There is a tone of being dissatisfied. There is a tone here or an indication that this woman was dissatisfied with what she found the Lord providing for her. And she had become discouraged. And there's even some evidence in these words, the tone of them, that this woman was experiencing some bitterness. Is it possible that we could enter in with this woman to a similar state of mind when we look at our vessels, when we look at the areas of our life that we really need the Lord to fill up? Is it true that perhaps we can look at some part of our life or some area of our life that we had hoped the Lord to come and do a work in, and yet it seems like rather than coming, He's taken away, and we find ourselves empty, and we turn to the Lord and say, "It's because You've done this. The Lord took my husband from me, and now I'm one who is destitute, although my husband was a faithful man." And, you know, you see yourself perhaps complaining before the Lord because you don't have those things in your life that perhaps you would say ought to be there? This woman is suffering emptiness. She had no resources, and the creditors were about to lay claim to her two sons to take them as bond servants. You know, when this woman would lose her sons, in that day and age, that meant this woman had no resource. She would be utterly destitute, for a woman's living depended upon the men in her house. Such was the case with Naomi. Such was the case with the widow of Nain, as she carried her son out to the grave. To carry one's son out to the grave meant there went all my ability to live in this life. Now I'm completely destitute. I have no help at any hand. Now this woman is saying, my sons are about to be taken away from me. The Lord has taken away. I am empty now and I'll be emptier still. What could possibly have caused this emptiness for this woman? What could have brought on this case of being so destitute, so to speak? Well, you would have to say an obvious thing. One reason why people find emptiness in their lives, why there are areas in their life that they find themselves having to say, I am as dry as a bone, is neglect. Is it possible that this widow and her sons had not involved themselves in seeking after another living? Well, I'm going to be charitable this morning. I'm going to say that it is possible, but it's not likely. I don't really think that this woman was neglectful of anything. I think that this woman was following on in the way that her husband had set for them to walk. Her husband had feared the Lord, and she was herself one who feared the Lord. And she was seeking to bring her sons up as those who feared the Lord. You find that simply because the first thing that she does when she falls into want is she seeks after the Lord. She seeks the feet of the Lord's prophet. I think, and again, I don't want to have to say that there was neglect for this woman. But I would say that's one reason that we would have to address as a reason why emptiness does come to our souls, because you and I neglect the means of grace that the Lord has provided for us. We neglect sitting at the feet of Christ. We neglect doing those things the Lord has instructed us to do. Oftentimes we find ourselves in that sort of a situation. And this morning I'm only going to go so far as to say this. If that was something, perhaps, if you can look at your life and see an emptiness there, then I will say simply, well, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to take up this matter with you this morning. The Holy Ghost of God is the one who testifies to the heart. If there is a cause of emptiness in your life, then I would hope that none of us would seek to quiet His voice if He speaks to us in this regard. That there is emptiness, and the reason is because it's my fault. That is a reason, but I'm going to quickly move on to what I think is more likely the case. A reason for emptiness or empty vessels or areas in which we sometimes find ourselves empty is that sometimes we have a providential pouring out. Sometimes the Lord empties our vessels for us. Sometimes the Lord means for our vessels to be empty. There are areas of our life that we find ourselves wanting. You know, the Lord may empty the very best of men. Was that not true with Job? There was nobody like Job in the day that he lived. In fact, the Lord commended Job when he stood before Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him that hates evil, eschews it, turns from it, abhors evil, and does that which is right. Have you considered Job? And yet, what do we say about Job? Poured out, poured out, poured out, poured out. Every single area of his life saw his health, his resources, his family, his reputation, all of them poured out. The Lord simply tipped his life upside down, and that which he had that made him full ran out, and he was an empty man. To the point where his own wife would say, why don't you turn your face toward God and curse him and then die? Because that's the only good thing that you have facing you now, the possibility of death. I say, providential pouring out comes often to even the best of men. Did this widow here have any hand in the removing of her husband from the scene? No. She didn't do it. Her husband died. That was the Lord's doing. Well, you know, somebody said, you don't know this woman. You don't know what she drove her husband to. Well, I'm not going to read into the Scripture something that's not there. Every evidence is that this woman had no hand. The Lord took her husband. Her husband feared God, was a good man, and God took him. And this woman was left in a position of poverty and emptiness. Was that not the case with Naomi? Was Naomi one who, because of her action, brought on the death of Ahimelech? No. Was the widow of Nain one who had a hand in her husband's death? No. The Lord providentially brought these things about. Why? Well, we can say later on, because the Lord had a hand in glorifying Himself through these things. This woman's husband was taken. Providence also had brought her into the place of poverty. You know, it was a common lot of prophets in that day to live a life of poverty. There was much oppression and much persecution that attended the prophets in that day. Being a prophet was not a popular occupation. And yet, the woman was left with one valuable commodity. The woman did have one thing that was still a resource in her house. Was it a great resource? No. Did she have a lot of it? No. You know, sometimes the Lord will, like Job, take your life, turn all the things out. He'll pour out all the different areas, but He never leaves you without one thing. He never leaves you without faith. And He never leaves you without His love. You always have that at hand. This woman had some little resource. Let me just say, it is not uncommon for the Lord to remove the resources of His people. Sometimes the Lord does remove from you your ability to cope in this life. Sometimes the Lord does remove from you the emotional supports. Sometimes the Lord does take loved ones. I think I'm not meaning to make an illustration of him, but we're going to be praying for Dr. Barrett's father. You know, that's not an easy thing to have your emotional support removed like that. I remember when my own father passed away. Now, you know, sometimes you just don't truly understand all the how empty that you can truly be until someone that you love very dearly is taken away from you. And you find here is a sense of emptiness. This is not uncommon for the people of God. But I say, see the faithfulness of God. Though He may empty us at many hands, He never takes from us that which will multiply our richness in Him. He never takes away that which truly can help us. Another cause that we are emptied is sometimes the Lord has purposeful removals. The Lord purposefully removes things from us. He removes our props. He removes our means of supporting life because these things have become a hindrance to our walk with Him. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, why did the Lord have to make me lose my job? Huh? Well, you know, sometimes it's because your job became a hindrance between your walking along with the Lord and you and the Lord. Sometimes there are things that relationships that the Lord allows to be severed because these things do not allow us to go on well with the Lord. You can take any number of areas of life that you possess or that you are that you know, and there are ways in which the Lord sometimes will affect those so that you may better go on with Himself. You know, sometimes we look at those kinds of things and we say, well, that's a bad thing when the Lord takes away from us those things that are supporting us or those things that help us. You know, the only thing that's bad is when the Lord allows us to drift through our life content with where we are, content in those things that are causing us hindrances in our walk with Him or being of use for Him or being in the place that He would want us to be. That's bad. When our minds and our hearts are so dulled that we can't perceive that some of these things are actually harming us. It's never bad when the Lord allows you. Let me just say, it is never a bad thing for you to sense emptiness in your life. What? No, it's not a bad thing for you to sense. It's when you when you are empty and you don't sense it, then that's the bad thing. But when you sense that, Lord, I'm empty. Lord, here's an area of my life that it is just as dry as a bone and that I have no sense of your filling it, your blessing. I say that your understanding of that situation, that is a very good thing. That is indeed a very good thing. There are many reasons why the Lord allows things to be removed from our lives. Sometimes the Lord allows us this sense of emptiness just to bring us to the place of, the place of worship. Did you know that waiting on God is worship? You know, we think, oh, no, it's just when I come into the room like we have here and I am singing and I am praying and I am reading the Word of God and I'm lifting my voice and my heart is encouraged. No, that only is worship. No, worship is also you're waiting on the face of God, that you are submitting yourself and keeping your eye unto the hand of your Master. That is worship. Sometimes the Lord allows us that great place of privilege by taking away those things that keep us from that. He allows us to wait upon Himself. The cause of emptiness, often, is just the mercy of God. I want us to consider the remedy for this emptiness. And we're only going to take our thoughts directly from that which we have read today here in 2 Kings chapter 4. This incident gives us an instruction and it gives us a method that gives us insight into the Lord's filling our empty vessels. There's an instruction that's given to this woman. I say this is very encouraging. Well, at least it was to my heart. And this is a point I think that my own heart gravitated to more than any other thought that I was able to see here. The instruction given to this woman is that she was to bring her vessels and don't bring a few of them. Bring them all to the Lord. Bring every one of your empty vessels and bring it to the Lord. Every single one. Lord, here I'm empty. Lord, here I'm empty. Lord, here I'm empty. Bring it to the Lord. Bring them all, not just a few. Every possible vessel can be filled by the Lord's handiwork. And I would say this morning, you and I would do very well if we would look into the corners of our lives, into the corners of our spiritual household, if you will, and see what we can see, take stock of what we can lay our hands on as far as those vessels, and bring them to the Lord. You know, there was also the instruction for this woman to bring borrowed vessels. Perhaps you and I may see areas of our lives that we don't have much to do with. There are things we can see in the lives of others. Oh, Lord, I wish I could be more like that man in this area or that area or the other area. Bring those vessels. Go out and borrow those and bring them in. If you see something that you're empty or some place that you would be able to do something for God, but you don't have it in your life, bring that to the Lord. Go out and borrow them and bring not a few. We are a people that have been given the expectation of an abundant and victorious life. Let us bring those things in our hands to the feet of Christ. That's the instruction. You bring not a few. And then the method. He tells her to do something in a particular way. He says, first let there be the closing of the door. I think that there is a great deal of practical instruction here. If you're going to see the Lord pour out for you, it's going to be in the place where you're alone. Don't expect there to be a lot of eyes to watch. Don't be looking for the Lord to do it in a great and public way. When you want the Lord to fill up the empty places in your life, you need to get alone with Him. You need to go in and close the door. Notice that even the prophet was not there. Even Elisha, the man who was giving her the instruction at whose word this whole thing was taking place, even he was not in there. It was just this woman. and her two sons that the whole thing was concerning themselves inside their chamber, and they closed the door. Just themselves and the Lord. Second, the vessels were brought into the house in accord with the words of the prophet. They were brought into the house. There was a willingness to separate unto the place of obedience and power. There was a willingness to get alone. There was a willingness to pull apart from anything else but the Lord. It didn't make any difference what was out there. There may have been other prophets. There may have been who knows what. No, this woman says, I will come apart. I will bring the vessels into the house. And then third, there was the pouring out. The woman had to pour out from the vessel that she had possessed. She had to pour out that which she had at hand. I say, the Lord sometimes requires the faith of our hearts to look into situations where we find, Lord, I am empty here. I have no faith to be able to deal with this. I don't have grace to be able to sufficient to be able to look at this. This is something that is causing me great concern and great sense of desperation here, and I do not have, all I have is just this little amount of faith at hand, as it were. The Lord says, okay, start pouring in toward that. Start looking at that as one thing that you need to pour out your faith toward. The widow had to pour out into the other vessels. Many would make much of the fact that oil in other places in the Scripture is synonymous or taken as a type of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord does pour the Holy Ghost into our situations. The Lord does allow the Holy Ghost to come and to take our empty vessels and to turn them into that which is of great usefulness for the Lord. There was a remedy, and that was the pouring of the oil into the vessels. And then I want us to thirdly look at the reality that was amid the emptiness. There was reality that we must consider. I say that there was a great truth that was witnessed by the eyes of this woman as she began to pour. And I just was thinking as I was reading this, boy, I wonder what the face of this woman was when she started seeing that oil pour out. I wonder what was her reaction. As she was in those doors and her boys were standing there with her, and she starts to pour the oil, my thought, well, the first thing probably was surprise. This thing's not stopping. I mean, you have to say, well, there must have been rejoicing, but then my mind stopped. No. Probably what there was with this woman, because of the state of her heart, was a humble rejoicing. There was probably even tears. Tears of relief. Tears of joy. Here was an answering to my need. And I say that when Jesus Christ enters the closed room with His saints, there's often reactions like this, and there are other things that we're seeing, and something that I would point out to you and make much of this morning. In fact, this is an outgrowth of that thought that I mentioned just a moment ago. Bring your vessels and bring them, not a few. The first thing I would point out to you about the reality is there was no limit nor ending of the oil. That there was no limit nor ending of the grace that the Lord bestows upon His people. That's the picture here. As long as there was one need, as long as there was one vessel that was set before the Lord, the oil flowed. I say, let's bring our empty vessels to the Lord. What do you have that you need the Lord's help in? What area of your life do you have to say, here's an empty pot? This is an old, dry, old, empty pot. I need the Lord to... Well, how many times do we need to see the Lord undertake for us? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. You know, you think about all the different kinds of scenarios as you start thinking about. Illustrations lend, and this is an illustrative passage, and these things sort of lend all kinds of questions to the mind. At least it does to mine. You start imagining all kinds of things. You think about this lady who sent her sons out to borrow other vessels from other people. Well, what was the reaction of the neighbors when they saw all these boys running around the neighborhood trying to get vessels to bring back to the house? Perhaps how were they responding? They knew of this woman's situation. Perhaps a next-door neighbor said, yeah, I know this woman. I know her husband was a good man. And I know he died, and I know he left her with nothing. So when her boys knock on the door, can we borrow some vessels of you? Sure you can borrow my vessels. In fact, why don't you just take one along here? This one's got something in it. This one's full. You take this along too. You know, what would have been the case if one of the boys had returned, or a couple of them would return with some of these vessels and they were still full? It would have been of absolutely no use. It would have been of no use. You know, sometimes there are well-meaning people in the world. They want to try to help you to get your mind and your heart set on a whole bunch of different things. They say, this is a good thing, this will help you. The reality of it is, no, if it's not Christ, if it's not thinking about the merits of His blood, if it's not the message of the gospel, if it's not what the Holy Ghost pours out into my heart as I am alone with Him in that closed-in place, then this thing is of no use. Although it may be that someone would say, this is something I'm trying to help you with. Perhaps the boys would come, can we borrow some vessels? And oh, sure, here, I've got a half a dozen of them here. And without looking, perhaps one of the vessels may have been partly filled. Or maybe a little bit left in the bottom of it. What do you say about something like that? Well, you'd have to say, again, this vessel is of no use because, and again, if you'll allow me to say this, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's filling your heart with that which is true, which will actually fill you up, is something that must not be mixed. It cannot be mixed with your righteousness. It cannot be mixed with that which you think is a good thing. The Lord will not pour out His Spirit into a vessel where it will be mixed. The vessels must be empty. But then again, allow my imagination, okay? Just bear with me. I'm letting my imagination go. Okay, I need some vessels. Oh, sure you can. I've got some in the back room. Now listen, I'm telling you boys, these things have not been used probably in, you know, a couple of years. They may be kind of dry and dirty and who knows what else. And I don't know, you may have had a spider even crawl around in one of them or something. But you can take all you want, but you know, I'm just letting you know. You know what? That didn't make an ounce of difference. It didn't make any difference how dirty the vessel was. It didn't make any difference what had crawled around in it. The only thing that mattered was that the vessel was empty. And this morning I'm saying, you can bring any area of your life that you want to before the Lord, and you can say, Lord, I'm looking at this particular spot in my life, this thing that I am bringing before you, Lord, it is filled with dirt, it is filled with a lot of dryness, I have known nothing but selfishness, and I have known nothing but sin, and I've known nothing but that which is completely dry. I have nothing in this vessel but that which is dirty. The Lord says it doesn't make a difference because that which sanctifies, that which makes the vessel clean is not the vessel. It's that which put it into the vessel. The Holy Ghost coming to your heart and bringing again to you the truths of what you have in Jesus Christ, of washing you clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, makes all these vessels of worth. And this morning I would simply encourage you, bring whatever area of your life you want to. It doesn't make any difference. The only thing that needs to happen is that you need to see it empty. You need to get yourself out of the way. You need to lay it all at the Savior's feet. You need to quit putting your conditions on it, your requests on it, as it were, what you think ought to be. Take all these things and say, I will let my vessel, as it were, be empty. I simply put it at the feet of Christ and I ask Him to fill my life in this area. My spiritual walk with Him. My desire again after the things of God. Lord, fill it up. The vision I had of doing something for Christ. Lord, it's become dry and it's become empty. Oh, fill it up again. The holy walk that you and I might have. We might have a desire to go on with the Lord in holiness. Bring it to the Lord and let Him fill it up. I say the things that you would see the Lord fill you with, all you have to do is bring them to Him. They have to be but empty. And again, I would put out to you, that not one of these vessels was only being able to be partly filled up. They filled it to the brim. And the Lord kept giving and kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. He said, Lord, there wasn't even this much oil in this when it was a brand new bottle. Then he heard, fill it up to the brim. Fill it up to the brim. More than you've ever known before. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Fill it up to the brim. Second, I would notice concerning the reality of this situation that there was no restriction in the number of vessels that we may bring. You know, in the earthly sense, you and I covet much. No, I don't covet, preacher. Yes, we do. We covet much and we work for it. But we find ourselves that we pray little and we get little. What a contrast there is to work so hard for the things of this world, and yet the things that matter most and the things that will count for eternity, we don't even ask for it. And we get so little of it. But here I say is the instruction to us all, bring with you your requests. Bring your requests before the Lord. Borrow not a few. And let's not think that there is some merit or grace in bringing little to God. There is no merit in your asking little of God. If you have to come before the Lord and you have to confess to Him, Lord, what I'm asking you to do is a great thing. It is a very large thing. The Lord is saying, it doesn't matter, bring it. And not only with that one, bring another one, bring another one, bring another one, bring another one. And you keep bringing and I'll keep answering. When you stop, that's when it stops. Bring the case to Christ. In the 1700s, there was a preacher who stood up and preached a sermon on hell. And that sermon, and I'm sure some of you have already guessed who I'm talking about, in the name of the sermon. It was 1740s, New England. Didn't help any. A man who preached on hell, who told those that were listening that they were like those who were held over hell's pit by a spider's web, and that the fires were licking at the sinews of that web, and they soon would fall off and fall into a Christless eternity. That sermon was read, if you will. It was read with a man looking down, not even looking at his congregation. There was no fire or fervor in his voice, some would say. The man certainly was not an evangelist because he was not flailing his arms or doing some other thing. He read with a monotone voice a message that he had prepared carefully, but for all intents and purposes was just one that was delivered without emotion or any fervency, and yet that was the beginning of what we call the Great Awakening. I'm speaking of Jonathan Edwards and that message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. You might say, well, that was an amazing sermon. There was something about that sermon that was unusual that caused it to be so taken up by God and used. The answer to that is false. No, that's not the case. What made that message so powerful? Well, Jonathan Edwards was a great man of God. He was an unusual man of God. He was a great preacher. He was a charismatic figure. Wrong again. I'm not saying Jonathan Edwards is not a great man. He was a great man, but it was not his style. It was not his person that brought this revival to be. So, you say, okay, come on, give us some answer. Why did the Lord so take up that message that day that numbers of people were saved and there began a moving there in New England that was not stopped for years, and the Lord saved countless thousands over the course of that decade? Simply this. It is recorded that in the days immediately preceding that Sunday, that a number of people in that congregation felt the burden to draw themselves aside and to pray a great prayer for their preacher on that Lord's Day. They were burdened to preach for or to pray for this preacher that the Lord's power would descend and that He would take up this man and his message and bring it home to the hearts of sinners who had found their way into the congregation. The Lord answered that prayer and began a mighty revival. It was an answer to prayer. These people prayed a great thing. These people brought, as it were, a vessel to the Lord, even though it was a large vessel. Maybe it was many that they were thinking of. Lord, we need a great revival. We need to have these souls filled. There's many that are without Christ. Lord, we keep bringing. The Lord says, okay, that's it. You bring your requests and bring them, not a few. And you know, one thing that's encouraging is that that which took place there in New England is not something that can't help happen today. And it's not, the power of that is not something that you and I can see in our lives. It certainly is. The point, the filling of vessels had nothing to do with the vessels. No, the ability of the woman to bring them was not in view here, nor of her sons. It was that the fountain was opened and it had no limit. But what was the result? What was the result of all this emptiness? Well, our minds would tell us, I think, by our own reasonings, that the result of emptiness is starvation and destruction. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, that's what this woman concluded. Although the opposite was true here. This woman concluded that around the corner waited slavery for her sons and destitution for herself. Again, that was not the end of it. The result of this emptiness was that there was rather a complete freedom because of that which was poured out. The woman and her sons were freed from the oppressor because the Lord poured out. The woman and her sons were freed from that which was their great fear. And I say that you and I would testify of nothing less when we come to the feet of Christ. We might be as that one who said, I've been to the feet of Jesus. His love has flowed to me. Though sin-weary, torn and empty, His grace has made me free. I say, there is a fullness for us. The result of bringing your empty vessels to Christ is that there's a fullness. But then I say, there was much power in the witness. Again, I'm letting my imagination go a little bit here, but I could just... What happened when the woman opened the door of her house after this had taken place? Her friends are around, and you see this woman and her sons, they start carrying out the vessels. She goes and finds the prophet, of course, and he says, go and sell them and pay your debts. Well, here's a woman with all these vessels. Could you imagine what the people were looking at? Where in the world did you get this? Let me tell you what happened. The Lord undertook for me. Well, I guess He did. Look at all this. Can you? And this is not just any oil. This is the finest of oil. This is the most precious of oil. This is the... You're not going to have any trouble selling this stuff. Everybody's going to want this, as it were. I say that that is the way that the Lord works in the lives of His people. That He allows us, by His grace, to have a testimony to the work of Jesus Christ within us. Oh, may we be those who are swift to learn the lesson, that we may bring empty and parched vessels to the feet of Christ. And He will fill us. He will fill our lives with that which is needful for us to go on with Himself and to be of use for His name's sake in the building of His kingdom. Bring your vessels. Borrow not a few. Bring them to the Lord and allow Him to do that which will fill up your heart and your life. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, this morning again,